So I am pretty committed to starting on time. So if people come in late, that's just fine. You are always welcome to jump on late. If I notice that you jump on and I'm not in the middle of a sentence or something, I'll probably welcome you and let you know that you're welcome to do a check-in kind of when we're between questions or something like that. But that's what we're going to start with, is we are just going to start with a celebration and appreciation time. So if you have anything that you want to celebrate about what's happened or give appreciations to anyone in the community, even who might, you know, just hear the recording of the call, you can feel free to do that. And at this point, Diana, it looks like you and I are it. So I don't know if you would like to do anything along that line.
Oh, you know, I just wanted to say how much I appreciate everything. I mean, just to access the recordings and the small moments I have and hearing your voice and the support. I'm not on Facebook a lot, but boy, whatever I've put on there, I'm getting and I'm receiving so many thoughtful responses. And it's really strengthening. I live out here in the middle of nowhere in the country, and I feel isolated sometimes, and it helps me know that I'm connected.
Sure. Wonderful. Great, great celebration and great acknowledgement of our whole community. So thank you very much, Diana. And, you know, it just sounds like that even though some things have been challenging, that you are doing well. In terms of a check-in, I think unless we get somebody else on, I'm not going to waste our time with that kind of thing, unless there's something else that you want to share.
Not right now. I'm just open to listening to me. Thanks, Susan.
Fabulous. All right. So what I am going to do is remind you who will maybe be hearing the recording or whatever, that these calls are primarily a Q&A. Now, this is the only time that this kind of benefit is going to be a part of this program. It will eventually be an automated program. The Q&As may end up being a part of that program if we find them valuable. And for this reason, and I won't be using people's last names when I speak to them. So if we have more than one person with the same name on, I'll use an initial or something else so that we just kind of have a little bit of privacy, even though we are sharing things that others can then benefit from. Now, the other thing that I'm going to say is that we've kind of set up a schedule of how to move through the class, meaning that we would be on week three. From looking at the membership site, because we can sort of see which videos have been viewed and that kind of thing. And it's not about checking up on you. It's so much as making sure I'm not kind of pushing ahead and people need to work with the material in an earlier class. And so based on that, I don't have any prepared material for this call. It's just purely going to be a Q&A. Again, if other people do drop on the call, come on a little bit later, we may do a quick check-in. Other than that, that's what the call is going to be. Before we get to that, the only other announcement that I have is that because of kind of where I've seen people consuming the content, I am a little bit behind on getting bracelets out, but they will go out this week. I kind of wanted to simplify the handout that goes with them. When I created them originally, it was for educators, for Montessori classroom educators, because there can be a lot to keep track of in a Montessori classroom, and especially if you have 20 to 35 students, which is kind of the range that is most typical for most Montessori classroom leads. It one of the things is kind of rotating through all of your students. And so I created a somewhat complex model for these little consistency jewelry ideas, and I want to simplify it down. So it's taking me a little bit longer to do that, but they will be going out. And they do correlate with the Class 3 content, which I'm not seeing most people being on already. So I just wanted to give kind of a quick explanation about that. So that is all that I have. So I'm just going to open it up for questions. And Diana, right now you're it. So can I answer questions for you or help you to process anything that you've been doing in the course or anything like that?
I think, thank you for offering for me to ask the questions. I have had a lot of introspective work in the past few weeks after listening to the classes. So some of it goes back pretty deeply, you know, to my relationship with my mother, and it's very deep work. And some of it is just, you know, the really great mothering minutes that I look at my day to day, and then I realize there's something that I could actually, I do have the permission or the power to change. And that's created a sense of ease in my day. It doesn't mean necessarily the challenge between myself and my children or myself and my schedule disappears. It just means that I'm feeling a little bit different about approaching it. And I think what's going on is that I'm looking back now, you know, my oldest child is 7 and my youngest is 2. And I'm starting to consider what my legacy would be to them. And not that I've never felt the weight of motherhood before, but I think now it's starting to happen because my oldest is really starting to enter the world and come out from under my wing. Mm. And there's a lot of feelings around that. I guess it's bittersweet. We all want them to fly, and yet, you know, how am I maintaining my family boundaries while allowing him to stretch his own personal boundaries? Mm-hmm. And so the question for me is, I guess, pretty broad in that, you know, when I'm creating my personal legacy with my family, I'm also wanting so much to connect with other families who are perhaps towing this line with the same language and the same intent. Mm-hmm. Finding that challenging sometimes. So I'm doing this, it's twofold, you know, when I don't know if there's a real question there, but it's more like just a questioning of where I'm coming from and where I'm really going to, you know. It's sort of like whatever choices we make today, you know, or what we make choices we made yesterday is what we're living today. So I'm really like feeling that, you know, right now. So.
Diana, could you say a little bit more about the other families? I mean, I think I understand what you were saying about your son and kind of where you are with your legacy there. Can you say a little bit more about the other families?
Well, for me, it's probably not the usual because we're home learners and we're homeschoolers. So for me, the choice to be in connection with other families is really, really conscious. Like, I feel it a lot because it's not like we just get to go into a classroom and then our community is a whole one that's already presented to us day one.
Right.
It's sort of like, I feel like it's dating. It's like parent dating. And it's hard. It's hard to stay in like a open mindset where I feel people are open to me and I'm open to them so that I can create like a bigger community. We have a lot of really deep one-on-ones mm-hmm. over the place. We have a very loving community. I wouldn't know that they're all sort of knitted together yet. Mm-hmm. And how do I knit everyone together? I don't know, without becoming a party planner or something.
Sure. So. Well, let me talk to it a little bit, and I'll kind of check in with you and see whether this is helpful or if there's something else that we need to do there. First, I just want to honor the work that you're doing, and particularly this idea of leaving a legacy. This is one of the most important reasons to do the FORT process, the forgiveness work, the inner work as a mother that is part of this course, because the only way that we can truly teach some of the deeper wisdom to our children is by modeling it. What we do speaks so loudly that they can't hear what we say is kind of the traditional view of this. And it's true. They will pick up on those aspects of ourselves, whether it's resentment or whether we have kind of shunted away a part of ourself because we had parents that were overbearing or something like that. Those things will come through if we don't actually do the work, do the healing, so that we are modeling from a place of strong integrity. So that's wonderful that as you think about how the legacy that you're leaving for your children, that you are doing the inner work that you need to do, because this is the way that we consciously choose What are we going to bring in from our past? What are we going to bring in from the legacy of our own parents and grandparents and great-grandparents and culture? And what are we going to say, no, that doesn't fit. We need to blaze a new trail in this area because what I was given isn't what I want to pass on to my children. So beautiful understanding and recognition of the deep work that you need to do if you want to teach them in the way that goes through, because that it does. What you model to them goes in there, whether you wanted to or not. Now, in regards to these other families and kind of connecting and creating community, there's a couple things that I would say. Because I know, as I'm speaking both to Diana and anyone who will be hearing the recording on this, just because you're in this class, I know that you have a commitment to communicating with your children, even about subjects that are a little trickier. So even though you know I emphasize exposing your children to people in the environment that you want them to model, that particularly by the time they're seven or older, I don't mean that in an absolute way. Because they're not, I mean, you can't control them. You know, I emphasize by the time they're six or seven, you need to be sending them out on their own. And then you need to, through your family check-ins or your family meetings or just informal conversation throughout your day, you need to give them a chance to kind of debrief. And, you know, when someone is being disrespectful to them or is modeling behaviors that they're not comfortable with, they need to be able to come to you. And you need to be able to process that with them and so they can put it in perspective. And so in terms of creating community or reaching out and joining existing communities, I would keep that in mind, because I think almost anyone who comes into a program like this tends to have high standards. It's not yet culturally normal in our communities to do parenting training unless you're in crisis, from what I can tell. You know, it's kind of an early adopter thing if you're here and you're not in crisis. And so the likelihood that you have high standards already is good. And it may be holding you back. You may be having too high a standards, and there may be a scouting program or some kind of day camp or a mom, you know, co-op or something that you could be a part of and that would be valuable to you and your children, even if it doesn't fit all the way across the board, even if every T isn't crossed and every I dotted with your standards. So that would be one thing that I would say. And the other piece I would say is, be open to using your superpowers to do some of this. So rather than feeling like, oh, you know, I have to set out all my intentions and then I have to call people and then I have to do this and I have to do that, just put it out there. Just put out there the idea that I am going to attract the moms that can create a loving community with me and my children. And sometimes you'll be amazed if you set that intention clearly and you put that out there with the willingness to do your part and to, you know, kind of help people come together, but without having to make it happen and without, you know, overstraining, you may be surprised. And the other piece that I would say is, particularly if you're in a community where it's a less dense population base or whatever, you may want to look for ways to do it in more concentrated ways. So going away and doing things, you know, with your child and other families, you know, kind of a community gathering, camping, you know, retreat or something like that. I don't know. That part of it I'm just kind of pulling off the top of my head. But because I have lived in a community where, especially as I grew and changed, I didn't fit very well, sometimes there's not going to be a lot there. And so you may need to look for other ways that it's just not going to be, you know, something you can do every day or even once a week. And so to find that, you may have to kind of be a little bit more creative and be open to the idea that it may have to be someplace farther away that you then go and join in with your family. Is that valuable, Diana?
Yeah, it is. It is. Thank you. And that is valuable, very valuable. Yeah.
Right.
And I see the truth of that, and there are elements of that in play right now. What I'm hearing the most is really to trust myself, mm-hmm. to know that I have already made done the most difficult thing, which is to put my intention out there. And now it's just relax. Yeah. Which, that's my another lesson for me. Yeah.
And I would say, make sure that you are open to just support coming in ways that you can't even imagine. So, you know, if you're thinking, oh, you know, homeschool Montessori co-op and this and that, just be open to not only this kind of community coming together, but support from moms coming in ways that, that maybe you hadn't thought of before it shows up for you. So,
thank you.
Sure. Well, we are still the only ones that are on the call today. Diana, are there other questions that you have? Anything else that that I can help you with? It seems like I remember something from something that you posted in the group, maybe about some calendaring, or it just seemed like it was some kind of a planning and organization, like time organization question, and I don't remember what it was. I remember that it was something that maybe wasn't in this class, but it made me think of something else that I have in another program and that I could kind of talk about. Does that ring a bell?
No, I don't remember anything about the time organization part, although I would be open to hear, like, listen to anything about that.
Okay.
Especially, you know, right now, kind of how structured, you know, I play with that just as far as personal growth with my kids. Mm-hmm. You know, how structured should our day be, or, you know, what rituals need to be in place every day so that we have our cornerstones and yet there's freedom within that. I still play with that, especially because it's, you know, I am incorporating, you know, our learning element, you know, and not just learning. I mean, you know, ABCs, 1, 2, 3s, that type of thing, and,
sure,
and geometry stuff, and, you know, so, yeah, but time management, I'm open to listening.
Well, let me speak a little bit to the ritual piece that you mentioned, and then I'll talk the time management a little bit more globally. The only two rituals, or the two categories of ritual that I think are really, really essential, and this will go into what I'm going to say in a minute, which is minimal. Any kind of structures I think should be minimal, because you're going to beat yourself up too much if you don't make them as minimal as they can be and still be working. And so the two sets of rituals that I suggest are anything that creates security. So for many, if not most children, bedtime and getting up happening at approximately the same time, that tends to create a kind of a physiological sense of security, you know, rather than meals being at all different times the day, that there's kind of some order to those big physiological pieces, eating and resting. That any rituals of security that need to be put in place are there, and rituals of appreciation and gratitude. Whether that be saying, you know, some religious traditions have formal traditions of saying grace before and after meals, or bedtime prayers. Those kinds of things are very traditional examples of appreciation and gratitude rituals. But it can just be, you know, when you are doing your going to bed routine and ritual, that the last thing is, well, let's just think of all the people we're grateful for. You know, that's kind of a nice one for very young children, because they can think of the people they know even when they can't think of abstract ideas. And then, you know, think of all the things that we did today that we're grateful for. You know, I'm grateful we had mandarin oranges at lunch, you know, or whatever. And anything like that, particularly with younger children. So Diana, this is particularly true for your two-year-old, the more that you can give, so you go first and you give a concrete example, the more that our under sixes can be successful there. So I'm grateful for the mandarin oranges that we had, you know, at breakfast, and for, you know, talking to my sister on the phone, you know, so that it's just very, very given very specific concrete models. Those are the only two rituals or categories of ritual that I think really need to be in place, because it's going to keep you positive. It's going to keep you focused on either what is already working or what needs to happen happen to make things work. So either a celebration focus or a solution focus, because we don't want to be problem focused ever. It doesn't serve us. It doesn't serve our children. What's needed next? What lessons are needed? These are all solution focuses or celebration focuses. So that's kind of the ritual side of it. Now, in terms of the global time organization, there's a couple of things that I suggest setting in place. And I do suggest a year, month, week skeleton. So if you're going to do a year skeleton, the first thing is just like everyone's birthdays and anything that happens every year in your family. So you celebrate Christmas or Hanukkah or the winter solstice or whatever, all of those kinds of things go in there. And then if there are other things that happen, if you have different things, you know, if you or your spouse is a tax accountant, then tax day is going to go in there, and tax season is going to go in there. If you do a catering business and Christmas time is always really busy, so you're going to put in both individual things, things that are a day or a couple of days long, but also seasons. For families that are blended families, or that one of the parents is somewhere else, if there's, you know, a certain visitation schedule that goes in there, all those kinds of things go into that year skeleton to start. And then you plug in the options at that level. So if you've decided you as a family are going to go to a Montessori family experience or whatever, and it's going to take some time to find a Montessori river rafting guide or whatever. I happen to know someone who does that, and so that's what came to my mind. You want to go down a river with a guide that's used to taking young children and has a Montessori focus. You know, that's the kind of thing that then you plug into that year-long focus, and you plug it in with the thing you want to have happen. 5 days on a river in July, and then here's what's going to have to happen before then. By this time, I'm going to have to make those plans, or I'm going to do the research, and then we've got to save the money, and then we've got to do this. And so you plan in, so those big important chunks are happening starting at the year-long level. And once you've got those in, including, and I always suggest, time alone, time together, partner time. You know, so time together means the whole family. And ideally, especially once the children are 7 or older, some individual parent time. So even if it's just one, you know, weekend in the year that it's just, you know, son and dad and son and mom or something like that, I think that can be really important. And particularly as they get older. Those kinds of pieces, I think, really need to be set in place before they are finishing up their elementary years. So before they become tweens, that's important. So that's kind of a sense of how you create a skeleton for the year. Then you create a skeleton for the month in a very similar way. What are the givens? You know, do you, you know, pick up organic produce, you know, twice a month or something on a certain day? So all those things that just happen and that are beyond your control, or you've chosen them, but they're set by somebody else. You plug all that stuff in, and then you start to plug in your things. I always give laundry as an example, because in terms of chores, laundry is different from a lot of other chores in that it gets worse. You don't dust. You know, I mean, it gets worse, but the amount of time it takes to do it is a little bit worse. It's not a whole lot. If you put off the laundry, you know, it gets harder. So I suggest things like that get plugged in at the monthly or the weekly level. It kind of depends on how you do things. Most families with young children, it's going to be a weekly thing. But this is an idea of just looking for the things that need to be done, and that if you don't do them on a regular schedule, things get worse. So that's the orientation of what we want to plug in at that level. And then we do the same thing at the weekly level. And the reason that I call these skeletons is nothing goes in these that isn't either something that has to be in there, because, like, if you don't pick up the produce that you paid for, that's a bad thing, or that you've chosen it. So this is things like that, you know, weekend with each child at an annual level. So unless it has to be in there, or it gets worse like laundry, or you've chosen it, it doesn't go on the skeleton. Because anything you plan out that then doesn't happen is going to wear on you. It's going to tend to make you feel bad that it doesn't happen or cause you to worry about it, or there's just kind of an energetic psychic weight to it. So we don't want anything in there that doesn't really need to be. And this is one of the ways that I talk to people who are kind of spontaneity folks, because if you do this kind of planning, this skeleton planning that I'm talking about, it actually frees you up to be more spontaneous, because you know those things that if you miss them are going to create problems for you. You know they're in there. And then when you look at all this and you go, oh my gosh, you know, second and fourth Saturday, there's nothing. We can do anything we want on the second and fourth Saturdays every month. Then you've got that with kind of a freedom and a relaxation that is genuine. It's not, oh, because I'm a free spirit, I'm going to do whatever I want. This is kind of an earned spontaneity that I know there's nothing else we're supposed to be doing other than whatever we feel like it. So this is the idea of putting this skeleton together. Then once you've done that, I suggest having, I'm actually kind of playing with a template on this, and at this point I'm not going to promise it to anybody, but I'll describe it and I may share it. We'll kind of see what happens. Like I said, this part of the way of doing things is not part of ASK, but this is one of the things about being in any of my programs where you're on the calls. If you have a question and I can help you with something and it's not in the program, I'll do it. That's fine. So once you've got those skeletons done, then what I like to work from is a one-page kind of rotating list. And the way that I do it is I have all the days of the week on there. I typically take Fridays and Sundays off. And so I have my work days kind of up at the top, and they're structured a little bit differently than my other days. But this is a document that then I duplicate. So when I make kind of the template for it, I've got Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Saturday up at the top, and Saturday's laundry. So laundry goes on Saturday, and I get my nails done every other Thursday. So that gets plugged into there. And so all those things that are already on the skeleton get plugged in and they're in the template. Then that list becomes a way that my template is right in front of me every week. So I would make these for all the weeks of the year and plug in anything that's already set. Now, if it's not set, then I have kind of a running list of things that I plug in as I think about them. But also, as I build the week, I have a coding. So I have a coding for any tasks that I put on here that are going to get worse or create a problem if I don't do them. And then I have a coding for tasks like dusting. So if dusting doesn't happen, it's got just kind of a visual coding that's different from laundry. So when I look at that list, boom, I know in an instant at least some of the things that I need to prioritize. And then as I do them, I check them off in the document, and I change the bullet literally so it's a checked off kind of a thing, and then I go from there. Now at the end of the week, I can see what's happened and what hasn't. Now for the week, I don't move anything around. So if I didn't finish everything on Monday, anything that didn't get finished on Monday is just visually right there beside Tuesday. So if I got all of Tuesday's things done, I'd back up and do Monday. Or maybe I'd actually start with Monday on Tuesday, depending on the priorities, because it's real easy to look at them. They're just right there. Then at the end of the week, I then will carry over any of those skeleton things. So if I was supposed to dust and I didn't dust, I don't carry it over. You know, let's say I dust every 2 weeks, then I don't carry that over. That's ridiculous. That's not something to worry about. 2 weeks from now, it's going to come up again. It'll be a little bit, you know, less pleasant, but other than that, no big deal. I'm not going to add it into the following week. So do you see how this way of kind of working with your tasks keeps you prioritizing, keeps the important things at the front of your mind, and it makes enough space for the things that almost never end up on these lists? Mm-hmm. The kind of mother that I was, I had to plan things like take a silliness break, because that I'm just kind of more of a serious person, especially when things are busy. And, you know, when everything wasn't done, I wouldn't prioritize that. So that would go on my list, silliness breaks, or, you know, go to the park for a half an hour, you know, whether you're done with everything or not. These are the kinds of things that then when they go on a list that way, your priorities, your parenting priorities, your mothering priorities, they get on your list and they get done, and silly stuff like dusting is what gets deleted, not those more important pieces. Does the structure kind of make sense? Okay, great, great. Well, we are, we're about 35 minutes into the call. Now, what I typically say is that if we've got five or fewer people on the call, I do an hour. We have one person on the call, so I am going to give Diana a chance to see if there's anything else that she does want to have us go over, and we certainly can. But if not, then we're going to kind of tie things up. And Diana, seriously, if you've thought of anything, I want to hear it, because I would like to have, you know, at least about a 45-minute recording for people if there are things that have come up. And if I think of something, I may add it in. But that's kind of the way that we're going to go, unless, you know, there's somebody jumps on in the next 5 minutes or something.
So, okay.
Is there anything else you'd like me to address?
There have been some bigger, again, I'm thinking more ahead in my family right now. And so I was looking for information, and I'll just throw this out there, about rites of passage and what that can look like for our modern families.
Yes.
And how can we start to build that within our mother communities also? A good example that spurred this line of thinking was that my friend who has a 15-year-old daughter, this was 2 years ago, she asked me to write her daughter a letter to tell her daughter all of, you know, maybe some pearls of wisdom, and just, you know, like kind of have a happy birthday letter. And so I did, because I've known her daughter since she was one. Aww. And my friend said that her daughter, soon after receiving my letter and many others, her behavior changed. She started employing a lot of these pearls of wisdom already in her life. And she said it was as small as wash your face before you go to bed every night, you know?
Yeah.
And so I thought that was a very lovely way of my friend to create a rite of passage for her daughter who was turning 13. And so I am looking for more ways. I'm looking for to come up, you know, and to allow them to come into my own family, my own mind organically, but also do they look different for boys versus girls, or at what ages? And how can we create these so that they are more common sense for our communities nowadays? Mm-hmm. And that's something else I've just been thinking about. So since I have the floor,
yes.
Voice it.
And I think that's a wonderful thing to be looking at, Diana. And I will say that the idea that your friend came up with is very much in keeping with one of the principles that I teach in this program and all my programs, which is another set of eyes, a community of wise moms, because there's several reasons for it. The most important one and the most urgent one typically is that others can see what we cannot. So if we are doing something in our mothering that we really probably don't want to be doing, but it's a blind spot for us, our friends who are in community with us, and preferably in community where they actually see us interacting with our children, they can then help give us those heads up. The other piece is that sometimes our children can hear from others what they can't hear from us. This is one of the challenges with our shrinking Western families, is that our cousin and aunt and uncle bases are just shrinking to almost nothing for some of us. This is coming from an only child of an only child. So, you know, I had seven cousins. They were all on my mother's side of the family. And I mean, I have no family no biological family left. And this is one of the things that we need to look at. Now, the upside of this is that we can choose family now. And a lot of our peers are very open to that, just as you were happy to write that letter. So I would say that's a wonderful way to go about things. And there's three things I would say to take into consideration when you're looking for how to create these rites of passage in an authentic way, in a useful way, and in a way that is really going to deeply serve you and your family. The first is your family code of honor, your vision, your mission statements. These are something that I believe every couple ideally creates before children are even there, or that as soon as they become aware of the practice, that they create that on their own. If there are children who are tweens, 12 or older, at the time that a family becomes aware of this, I usually suggest that they be brought in, you know, even before the process is complete, so that the couple would have at least a discussion about any thing that's really important to them, but then involve those older children. Unless the children are all that age, I suggest that the couple come up with a pretty solid set of values that they believe in, and looking first at the ones that they choose and reject and probably modify from their own families or cultures is a good way to start. So looking at the values of any religious cultures that you were raised in or you're familiar with, any country cultures or, you know, country of origin cultures, anything like that. So a lot of times the winter celebration, that's, I mentioned Christmas, Hanukkah, solstice, those are all different aspects of cultures that and celebrations that come from them. So you look at those and you create kind of your set of values and ideals, because that's what you want these rites of passage to grow out of. I mean, one of the ideals that I believe your friend embodied was honoring the wisdom of your elders, because she carefully chose elders to impart wisdom to her daughter. And it's certainly a way, you know, a much different way than I was taught that in the American South, but it's the same kind of principle. So she did something of an updated version, very much as I would do, because of not holding to everything that came with that to me, but holding with the essential value of it. So that's number one. The second thing I would say is look for what you can embrace already. And I specifically mentioned the scouting program. Some people, I mean, particularly with some of the political associations of scouting, campfire, some of those things, a lot of people go, I don't know. But what I have found is, depending on the group in your area, it can sometimes be wonderful. And there is a lot with the way that they create accomplishment and you know, self-initiative and things that's very valuable there. So I'm giving that only as an example, not so much a recommendation, but there may be other things. There may be boys and girls clubs that, you know, you could be involved with. I'm just kind of putting that out there. And kind of a thing that's in between number one and number two is looking at the rites of passage of your own upbringing. So for instance, I was brought up Catholic, and I'm not a practicing Catholic now, but I look at things like, you know, the baby baptism, sometimes it's a name ceremony and other traditions and things. That's a way from the very beginning to kind of say to the elders you've chosen, I am formally requesting that you be a source of wisdom and community for my child. So that would be one I would come up with. And that's kind of based on what was in my background, but is not the same thing. So that's kind of one and a half and two. And then the third one is just exactly what you've done. You know, take the advice of those who are in community with you. So once you've kind of come up with those values and you're consciously selecting friends, whether it just be an online community or whatever, look for ways to do that and then share it. Because if you're sharing this, this is a way to kind of say to people, here's what we're doing with our children, here's what we value, and we're looking for other elders in our community to be a part of this support system. So that's just kind of what I would put out there as a way to go about it at this point. And this is one of those things where it's really good to be aware of your own blind spots. So if you tend to have a little bit too high a standards, then you're going to want to look for things that maybe are not exactly a fit for you, but are close. And is there something that you could do to make them a fit so you're not overdoing? Because people with the high standards tend to also be the ones who are overdoing and feel like we have to do it all ourselves and those kinds of things. So look at your own ways of, you know, making it harder on yourself or whatever, and then consciously go against them a little bit, you know, kind of counteract that would be what I would suggest. So, okay, well, I think unless there's any other quick questions or anything you've come up with, Diana, I think we're going to tie it up. As I said, we are recording, so this recording will go up on the members area for people to review. Anything else that we want to do to tie things up?
I have one question.
Sure.
Because something you said earlier really is the truth in my world, is that when I've told people, like my in-laws are visiting right now, mm-hmm. and my husband, and I have a couple of friends, no, I'm taking this mothering mentor course. And they're kind of like, well, what's wrong?
Yeah, exactly.
And yeah, I thought you were pretty a mom, or, you know, or, oh, the kids are really that bad. And can you give me like my elevator speech? Like, this is actually what Susan Zink is talking about, and this is what I'm up to, you know. I'm still searching for that, so yeah.
Okay, well, let me give it a first try, and then if I get a better one, I'll put it on a video or put it in, post it in the group or something like that. One of the things that I would say is that I value a lot that I learned in my childhood and in my adult life up until now. And one of the things I've learned is I have blind spots, and I have things that are easy for me and things that are more difficult for me. And it is so important to me that I be the best mom I can be for my children right now, that I'm choosing to consciously look at the pieces that are gaps. So I, for instance, I gave an example in my own life. I know that as a parent, I was not as silly and fun and light as I would have liked to have been with my sons if I had known what I know now. If I'd had somebody give me a list of common mom gaps and say, okay, you're probably either too serious or too, you know, devil may care. You're probably either too stringent or too lackadaisical with your boundaries. You know, if you can find yourself in this and then go, oh, you know, I'm really good at scheduling. Schedule a silliness break. You know, I have a silliness box. I actually had one of those. I had a silliness box. But if I'd known what I know now, I would have put it in there and had it planned in, because I'm good at the planning part. So this course is about noticing what you're not good at yet, using the things that you are good at to be able to help become an even better mom, and finally to learn those things that are super important that you weren't even seeing. Because I'll tell you, everybody's got them. And it doesn't mean they're bad moms, but it means they're not quite who they could have been for their children if they'd gone that little extra mile. And you're an early adopter. And my fearless prediction is that 10 years from now, it'll be like, well, you're not taking parenting courses. Don't you care about your kids, or haven't you been able to find one you like?
Yeah. Okay. I know that'll be true.
I was a little long-winded, but do you think you could maybe pull, you know, a few?
Oh, yeah. Tons of pearls in there. Tons. Okay. I'm making all a right. necklace right now.
All right. Well, wonderful, Diana. I want to thank you for your thoughtful questions. Really been wonderful in terms of a recorded call that I think will be beneficial for a lot of moms. So you take care. And to anyone who is listening to the recording, until we talk next time, Mother from Your Wisdom.